So this evening will be our final reading from Gopal Champu. Tomorrow night we will read something different. And usually at the very beginning we introduce the work that we're reading from. However, tonight I'm going to give you a short introduction at the end. So Gopal Champu is written by Srila Jiva Goswami. And it follows the order of the Srimad Bhagavatam, more or less the 10th canto of Krishna's pastimes. However, just as we saw the little drama last night, and there was a different way in which that pastime was being told, the Gopal Champu is also like that. In this story, Maharaj Nanda and all his family are very peacefully together when his name is Nandachuta. Ratnachuda. Ratnachuda is a reciter who recites different songs and glorifications of people. Ratnachuta enters the assembly and he says, "I would like to introduce you to two very, very special young boys." And two very beautiful young boys walk in. Ananda Maharaj is very astonished. Who are these boys? He says, "These two boys, these twin boys, are the sons of my sister Ratnavali. And they're very, very expert and knowledgeable. So I was hoping that for the pleasure of all the Brajavasis, they could recite some of the pastimes of Krishna." So Nanda Baba was very happy and he called together all his family members to hear these recitals. And he said to Ratnachuta, "The oldest one should recite first and the younger one should recite after." So the oldest one's name was Madhukanta. And the younger boy's name was Snigdhakanta. And these two boys began to recite the pastimes of Krishna to Nanda Maharaj. Krishna was also present in a very wonderful way. In the evening, when everyone had finished their day, Madhukanta and Snigdhakanta would go to a private place, and there they would recite special pastimes to Krishna and Radha and the young gopi girls. Now these, of course, were pastimes that were not appropriate to share with your parents. So the girls would welcome the two young boys, and generally Snigdhakanta, he would like to recite the pastimes, the very madhurya pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. So this is the 17th chapter of a very abbreviated presentation of the 17th chapter of Gopal Champu, which follows the Srimad Bhagavatam where Krishna, the gopis are attracted by Krishna's flute. And this one is named Purvarag. Now Purvarag means when the young gopi girls had not yet met Krishna. Now you might say, how could Radha have not yet met Krishna? But remember, this is the Boma Vrindavan Leela. These are the pastimes that take place in this world that follow somewhat like you would say a lifespan. Young, adolescent, grown up, having children, and even Krishna displays the pastime of his leaving this world. So this is very, very different, in a sense, from the pastimes that go on in Goloka Vrindavan, where there is no such birth and death and so on. There is simply the cycle of one day after another day after another day eternally. But just as you might think that would be very boring, it isn't, because Krishna's pastimes every day, they have unique characteristics and they're never, practically speaking, the same. And Srimati Radharani cooks for Krishna every day and never cooks exactly the same as she did the day before. So that is in the Goloka Vrindavan, in the eternal Nitya Leela. But here in the Boma Leela, Krishna and Radha and the gopis, they behave somewhat like human beings. So when you hear their sentiments, please understand that they, first of all, they never get married and have Krishna as a sort of a side interest. They're constantly and totally absorbed in Krishna. But to heighten the intensity of their love, Purnamasi Yogamaya makes an illusory arrangement, which they believe to be totally true, that now they're married and they're living, they're young girls, they follow the Vedic traditions, they are now married and they're living in the homes of their in-laws, which to them is like leaving their father's home, which was like a palace, and going to live in a prison. Because all they do, day and night, constantly, without a moment's interruption, is think, how can we meet Krishna? So this is called Krishna begging his beloveds through playing the flute. It was well known that all the girls in Braj had given themselves only to Krishna. Yet on the arrangement of Purnamasi, their marriages were performed, and eventually they were taken to the homes of their mothers-in-law. Confined there, their longings for Krishna increased. Radha's desire was most intense. She thought, when the word Krishna and the sound of the flute enters my ears, he who appears in my mind immediately comes to me as if he knows me, though I have never seen him before. If I do not attain him, my life ears will soon leave my body. When the desire for Krishna arose in their minds, the gopis hid it under the consideration of dharma, like fire is hidden within damp wood. Radha thought, how can I give up this person who is my very life? But then dharma comes and blocks the way. Krishna thought, Radha is my heart and my life. Remembering her, I lose consciousness. How can I reveal my mind to her? Then he simply used glances. When he threw his glance on the gopis, they considered his glances to be like swords. When Krishna went from the forest to the town, or he came from the forest to the town, the gopis gathered together to see him with their eyes. When he was leaving in the morning, he would falsely smile to a friend, and while playing with his friends, he would turn back and throw a glance to where the gopis stood with affection, and the gopis would become stunned. There was a great internal conflict between fear of dharma and their disturbed minds. In their predicament, each one said to the other, let mothers and fathers and others criticize me. But how can good intelligence desire anything else in the mind when it is attached to Krishna? In this way, with great difficulty, they passed their days absorbed in a confusion of desires. Although the gopis are Krishna's eternal lovers, they had forgotten their identity in this birth. Yet his beauty made them recollect the truth, and gradually they even forgot their fear of trespassing Dharma. Thus, seeing Krishna in the early morning, the gopis passed the summer months. Then the monsoon season arrived, with the rumbling clouds and the dancing of peacocks. Seeing both the clouds and the peacocks, the gopis felt that they were able to somewhat perceive Krishna. During the monsoon, Radha suffered upon seeing the clouds. But when the autumn season arrived, she suffered from not seeing the clouds, which was so similar to his complexion. Then the wind god, inspired by the Lila Shakti, brought in the wind to each of them verses written on fresh leaves by the fingernails of their lovers. Accidentally receiving these wonderful messages, both Radha and Krishna embraced those leaves while weeping and weeping, and made them the central jewel of a necklace situated within their hearts. When the gopis did not accept being controlled, Krishna, although fearing the glances of others' eyes like being beaten with a stick, finding no other alternative, began to play his beautiful flute to control them. First, with absorption, he played flute tunes in the company of Balaram. The women of Braj, shy to reveal their love, described Krishna while speaking apparently about Krishna and Balaram. Krishna thought, I desire all of them to become bewildered and attracted, especially Radha. So I will play the flute so that gradually bewilderment and attachment will both appear. He decided to carry out a test. By playing his flute, he brought under control all the animals, but he only managed to agitate the hearts of the gopis, but not to control them. First, the cows reacted to hearing that flute. They drank the sound of Krishna's flute with their ears, which served as tongues, and their tongues became stunned, and they were unable to taste the grass. Another day, playing another tune, he attracted and enchanted all the other animals and birds, who were so enchanted by that sound that it seemed as if they had been caged. The gopis said, we worship the peacocks because of their good fortune. Just see, we are so condemned more than all these animals. For we cannot freely see Krishna as they can see Krishna. We cannot even see his shadow. On another day, the deer became controlled by Krishna's flute. The gopis saw the does gathering, the deers and the does gathering together and running towards Krishna. And the gopis thought to themselves in their mood of purvarag, loving Krishna, seeing that everyone else was fortunate except themselves. The gopis thought, we are so unfortunate. We cannot go to Krishna along with our husbands like the deers and the does. On another occasion, the birds were listening to Krishna's flute up in the trees, and they all became silent and stunned, and they sat there just like statues. And the gopis looked at them and thought, they have become like silent yogis in the trees listening to the flute. This was described by them as they lamented. They said, all the birds must be great, great sages because they have taken a vow of silence. We know for certain now that the birds in this forest are all sages and Krishna is their guru. Therefore, it is not proper that our desire could be fulfilled. Another day, the flute attracted the river Jamuna, which stopped flowing, overcome with bewilderment. The water trembled. Its waves swelled and shouted through the calls of the swans. The river became insane and approached Krishna with its waves as hands, offering lotuses to Krishna's lotus feet. Seeing this, the gopis felt very sad. They said, we can never compare to this river. We are so unfortunate. We must become detached from happiness and distress. Another time Krishna played his flute and he saw the clouds floating overhead above everyone. And Krishna nourished the clouds by the sound of his flute, and they served Krishna by their rain and by the shade. And what did the gopis say? The gopis looked up at the clouds and they felt so sad. And they said, we are so unfortunate. We have surrendered to him. We have accepted him as the protector of our lives. We give him all respect. But without service to him, our lives are useless. Then the gopis turned as we would if this wall was not in the way. They looked in this direction and they said, even a pile of rocks, a mountain, Govardhan has attained happiness from Krishna's playing his flute. Giriraj is clearly the best of Krishna's servants, for on hearing the sound of his flute, his rocks have become smooth, because then he can witness the marks of Krishna's lotus feet. Thinking in this way, the gopis' mood of being unfortunate and not being able to attain Krishna, and identifying with their insane condition, Madhukanta, who was speaking this beautiful story to Radha and Krishna. Madhukanta covered his face with his cloth and he began to weep, making his grief visible to all. Then he recited a poem which was written by Radha. Here is the poem. The flute has the good fortune, because being male and giving up all shyness that we gopis have, it continuously touches Krishna's lips and vibrates exquisite sounds. Because of that sound which flows from his lips with joy, the rivers, who are the mothers of the flute, the bamboo flute, the rivers swell, and the bamboo growing on its bank sheds tears in the form of honey. Then Madhukanta told the inner meaning of this verse that Radha had spoken. This is the inner meaning. I pray for the body of a bamboo flute, and not the body of a respectable woman. Krishna attracted with eagerness and great affection will then see me as a flute, and he will play this flute. This experience is impossible in any other body. As a flute, with the ebbing of consciousness, I will forget who I am, but Krishna will know that I have become a piece of wood because of my suffering in separation from him. Then Radha thought to herself, O Makara earrings, you kiss his cheek. O flute, you taste his lips. O garland, you embrace his limbs. This is all proper for you. You are not at fault. But I am deprived of my desired object by criticism that considers rules. O flowers, O pearls, O diamonds, you never leave his chest. But what are we, women, controlled by love, in comparison to you? If Shyamasunda did not associate with anyone else, I would not be disturbed. But how can I bear to watch as he fearlessly embraces his boyfriends? How can I tolerate that? When the sound of the song of Krishna's flute spread out everywhere, with a heart-touching raga, an indescribable confusion subdued all the inhabitants of Braj and produced obstacles in the form of increased desire. O Radha, said Madhukanta, O Radha, no one can understand the desires in your beloved Krishna's heart.